Welcome, Knicks fans, episode 52 of the Worldwide Knicks Podcast. Just a two-man show today. Much as RJ Barrett is out injured, Alex is out today. So it's just Omar and Rafa. Rafa, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Cough is breaking it, so I can speak more now without dying, of course.
That's good. It's the winter time. You know, everybody's some sort of sick, I feel like, right? You know, it's everybody's like going through this, going through that, that sort of thing. But let's hop right in, man. A great week for the team. Exceeded everybody's expectations. 3-0.
Yeah.
You know, beat Phoenix handily on Monday, then beat up a San Antonio team, a little bit of revenge there, and kind of broke the curse of Toronto, right? First time in 7-8 years we won against the Raptors north of the border. So that was a really big deal. Another important milestone, during that game, Tom Thibodeau, 100th win as head coach of the Knicks. So fun fact, Rafa, he is now, or he has been, 8th all-time in wins for the team for a little bit now. He is 9 wins away from eclipsing Mike Woodson and 21 wins away from eclipsing Mike D'Antoni for 7th most all-time in franchise history, which is interesting to think about, right? Because how many people want him fired and stuff like that?
It's like, he's up there with coaches, Mike Woodson. Everybody loves Mike Woodson. Like, he had winning seasons and everything. D'Antoni, it's a bit of a love-hate relationship. But, man, he reached 100. The losses are creeping in as well. He's a 500 coach with the Knicks. It's fitting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's a roller coaster of a ride. Like, ups and downs everywhere. It's not easy. It's not an easy to... I'm not the greatest guy to praise Tom Thibodeau. So Alex is out because he was partying too hard for this 100th win. Yeah, he praised partying too much, too hard. man, it's something. It's at least we're winning games. At least it's winning games. We're improving as a team, as it seems. Like I mentioned this many, many times. Like, we had our seasons reversed. The worst season was the second. So if it was the first season and this was the second, like, it was growth. Yeah, exactly. When you're up and you go down and you become mid, it's like, what's going on right here? Like, we don't have the clear path. That hurts Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, he's 100 wins, 94 losses as Knicks head coach, 500? Which, 500 coach. But, you know, it's kept him his job. If he gets another playoff berth and avoids the play-in, especially because right now they're at the 6th seed, if he stays at that 5-6 seed level, hard to imagine him not coming back for another year with the way the team is going. But, you know, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
let's jump into something that has been happening a lot this season, which is the Knicks in late-game situations. You know, like... Last week with Doug Bion, we talked a little bit about free throws and how missing them has hurt the team down the stretch. You know what else has hurt the team down the stretch? Is this late-game ISO stuff, man. It's like 5 minutes left in the fourth. You got a 10, 12, 14-point lead like we did against Toronto. And you just switch to this clock-draining ISO ball with Julius, Jalen Brunson, sometimes RJ when he's in the lineup, they'll kind of give it to him, but it's mostly Julius and Jalen, and it's not effective. You know, I think we can all agree on that, regardless how we feel about the players. It's just not a very good form of offense, not an exciting brand of basketball, and moreover,
it's dangerous.
Yeah, you miss shots, you lose leads, and it just doesn't work. You know, and they escaped from Toronto with a win, but a lot of times this year they've gone to that and really blown a lot of leads. So my question to you, Rafa, is what are they trying to accomplish with this? What should they be doing differently?
I think they should stick with what's working in the game plan. I don't know if it's a lack of trust on the other guys on the floor. Is it Grimes, quickly. It's been more quickly, or the center Mitch or Sims or whatever, lack of trust and on making shots. Like, I don't know what's the plan. I don't know. It's the ISOs aren't really working. You reach the fourth quarter completely drained. You look at Julius. Julius needs Obi to get back quickly to so he can rest a
Yes.
bit. He gets completely drained. I don't know if it ties into that as well, how tired the players are instead of running around making plays. Just like, okay, the offense slows down so they can play better hard defense. But it's when you're tired on both ends of the floor and you're not able to defend as well or attack as well. And those ISO plays, you see a lot of just penetration in the paint, trying to get the foul calls.
That's the
Not
big
been
issue to
working
me,
to
man.
perfection. Yeah. Not been working to
Here's the
perfection.
problem, man. Our players don't get the whistle. Like, we've complained
They
about it for
don't.
3 years now. RJ doesn't get the whistle. Julius gets hammered in the paint consistently, never gets a call. Brunson
I
gets a
was
few,
shouting. Yeah, I was shouting at the TV at the Raptors game. How, what can you do to defend Julius Randle? Like, they were bodying him. They were shoving him. Like, he's almost traveling because he was getting shoved and there were no calls. Fred VanVleet was, everybody was shoving him. It was quite disgusting to see from the refs.
Yeah, like it's one thing if you have like James Harden on your team who has a penchant for drawing fouls, knows how to play to the whistle, that kind of thing. It's another thing if your team is just really bad at drawing foul calls or just doesn't get the benefit of the whistle. And that's the case for the Knicks. And now maybe you can argue if our main three players continue playing well, that they'll start getting those, star calls, as they call them, right? But for right now, it's not happening. So you kind of have to do a little something more. I mean, even if it was just like a quick high screen to get a matchup switch, right? I feel like even that would be good because right now it's literally give the ball to Julius or Jaylen. They kind of wave everybody off and try to cook their man, and it doesn't work. They try to draw the foul, doesn't work.
Not at
You
all.
miss a shot, and then you give up a corner three on the other end, and then you're sweating out
There goes the
a
game.
game that should have been won. Like they had the Raptors game won. Granted, they ended up winning the game already. That's fine. But, how many times have we seen it where you kind of take your foot off the gas or do some, like the Mavericks game, right? It's a classic
Yeah,
example.
exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, the Dallas game, you were up 9 with 30 seconds to go. Like, it's NBA, things happen. You need to be, again, I don't know if it's the tiredness effect, if it's not, it's the lack of trust in guys to make shots, because they've made shots before. So I don't know if what's the deal with this. I don't know if it's Tom Thibodeau saying this. No, ISO, go to ISO and let them cook, let them be stars. Is that it? Because
Maybe that's something we
if
got to
you
pay attention to. Like, if you sometimes you could hear Tibbs on the hot mic, during the game. You hear if like if under 5 minutes you hear him scream out ISO, maybe that's something going on. I don't know. I mean, it's another part of it to me though, Rafa, is there is a little bit of a ISO culture, hero ball culture in the NBA. Like give me the ball, let me decide who wins this game. You've seen it from like LeBron and you've seen it from Harden over the years. You see it with a lot of the great players where, they want the ball in their hands and they want to make the decision. The difference is that we simply don't have that level of superstar who gets that level of calls. And a lot of times when these guys get going into the paint, they kind of get a little bit of tunnel vision and, don't really pass out to the perimeter. So if the defense collapses on them where you have Grimes or McBride or Fournier, whoever it is in the corner waiting. Now, I think Julius has gotten better at it and Jalen's pretty decent at it, but it's kind of a mixed bag. It's something you want to see more of, but they just haven't been doing it, haven't really been executing late in these games.
Yeah, I mean, and it has hurt. I know we're getting into this, but RJ not being in the game, especially in those in these late situations,
So true. Yeah.
hurt us a lot. It's because you've seen late situations. It's been Brunson with the ball sometimes quickly, but more Brunson, because again, Julius is completely destroyed physically, and other games we've been seeing, especially in that the win streak, we were dividing. It was Brunson, it was RJ, sometimes it was Brunson, because it's a little bit that confuses the defense, and they were passing it a lot more. Right now they're not passing the ball. I'm not saying it's the rotations. Again, let's talk about the small rotations. It's like, okay,
Man, this
but
team
we
needs Obi Toppin back, man. Like you mentioned
yeah.
earlier,
And
it's
RJ,
we
they
cannot.
need both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna get to RJ in a second, but I know we're not really
Yeah.
talking about the Obi thing that much. This Hartenstein at the four thing is not working, and the fact that they're winning games despite it is
God.
a fucking miracle. And we need Obi to get back to full health as quickly as possible because
Yeah.
we like. And this isn't just me like defending Julius because I'm a Julius guy, but like I'm sorry, you're asking him to be switchable on defense. You're asking him to run the offense. He's shooting it over 20 times a game with RJ out of the lineup, him and Brunson. And like you said, it takes a toll. And you don't want to have a situation where your guys just gassed all the time. You need those Obi
Yeah.
Toppin minutes. Or you need to find another backup four down the road because you can't just keep on throwing Hartenstein in here. It's just a bad fit, and
It's
so
hurting the
I'm hoping
Knicks,
that
hurting the
Obi's
player.
back soon. Yeah, of course, of course.
It's hurting the player because the Artisan is out of position, playing out of position, being asked to do things he doesn't do. And then I don't know, I don't remember which game it was. We actually saw Sims and Mitch playing together. Like, oh my, okay, well, they're big, but
This is a
yeah,
98,
there's
man.
a
Like, you can't do this Twin Towers
yeah,
bullshit, Like, this is
exactly.
not the way the game is anymore. But on that
Exactly.
note, let's shift it over a little bit to RJ. RJ's been out 6 games now, if you include the Dallas game where he only played 92 seconds. The team has won some games, lost some games, 4-2 without him, which has elevated Emmanuel quickly into the starting lineup. He's played really well with his minutes, I think. So real good job
Yeah.
by Quick. He's really increased his value, I think, just real quick on quickly as like,
Yeah,
yeah, he can
sure.
play at the two and be effective. He could also take over as a point guard and be effective when Jalen was out briefly. So that's been good for him. But how much is this team reeling and missing RJ Barrett right now?
I think it's not because I love RJ, I do, but it's not because of it. I think we missed him on both ends of the floor tremendously. I think that it might not be that eye-catching, but you look at the switches on defense, and first of all, if your RJ is out, you're asking Grimes to guard the best player on the other team, the best wing, all minutes he's
The whole
in there.
time, yeah.
Yeah, full time. And or if he switches to with Deuce or quickly, they're shorter. So there's the problem there. Gladly against the Raptors, OG Anunoby didn't do anything special because that was probably the game he could. Like, he was beating Grimes. It wasn't Grimes, it was a much smaller defender on him, or Deuce or quickly was there. So he had the size advantage. He didn't use him. Well, he was. It worked well here because he was last game we played the Raptors, he was guarding RJ, but this time he was guarding Randle because Randle was destroying them, and so he strode away from offense. So it was a bit good and bad there for OG on that game with RJ. But on defense, so he's guarding bigger guys because they're bigger wings. At he has a he's big has a bigger size than Grimes, so that helps him defend as well. It doesn't tire Grimes as much because Grimes had a one good or one great offensive game. The other games he wasn't that present on the offensive end as people would love to see him. But again, because he has that so much so big defensive mission, and playing with quickly is a guy who is a guy who wants the ball and who's attacking, who's shooting a lot as well. So that takes away from Grimes' shoot as well. But I think it's his role right now on this team is for Quentin Grimes. But again, on defense, I think we miss RJ, and on offense, I think we miss him a lot. He was handling the ball more and more, dividing the initiation with Jalen Brunson. So again, that takes a little bit off Jalen Brunson. let some Rasen play a little bit off ball, something we know he does well with the Mavericks. And as you mentioned, both Brunson and Randall are shooting plus 20 or plus shots a game. So shooting, it tires the guy, man. Those arm actions, especially from the three point line, I mean, they get tired as well. So it's that third option or that second or one, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, that another option on offense you can rely on, a guy who can penetrate and it doesn't need to weave around the defenders like Brunson has to do, or quickly, a guy who can body up the defense is he has a bit of tunnel vision sometimes, but a guy like that penetrating, it's different than having a RJ full steam against you is different than Brunson full steam against you. It's like, okay, that shoulder might hurt, so I need to play this differently. So I think we lack him on both sides of the floor. Fans are enjoying RJ being out as quickly getting so many minutes. He's getting good minutes again. Having consistent starting minutes is being good for Emmanuel Quickly. I think he found his shot. He found his floater is falling. So he's been pretty good on offense. But I still think this team misses RJ tremendously for several aspects. I mentioned a few of them. There might be many, many more out there. So I miss watching him play. So yeah.
So here's the thing about missing RJ, considering what this team's roster is like. The NBA, having a superstar is like the great equalizer. You could be missing a couple role players for 5 to 10 to 15 games, and that superstar can carry the load and ensure that the train keeps on running until those guys get back, right? I'm not saying RJ's a role player, just as an example. This team doesn't have that guy. Julius is putting up top 15 numbers right now, and Brunson is looking like a borderline all-star. However, we don't have that Kevin Durant, that Joel Embiid, that Giannis type, right? Who is really just going to take over a game every time he's on the floor. So when you're missing one of your key pieces, that becomes a problem. And this team ultimately doesn't have the high-end talent to continuously overcome that. So everything you mentioned, taking the scoring load off of the other two guys, being able to help out Grimes and McBride and all these other wing players on the defensive side as well. You know, RJ ultimately is a net positive winning player, right? And if you're missing a guy like that who could drop 20 points whenever he wants, it's a big loss. I mean, you don't just replace that. Like, let's not you know, go overboard here. Like, yeah, Quickly has looked great. You know, he's played great. He's really matured as a player, and you could see that. But at the end of the day, RJ's better than Quickly. Like, let's be honest here, right? You know, and RJ has the higher ceiling. RJ has the better physicality. RJ has a lot of the better skills in certain aspects than Quickly. And the team needs him back, and much in the same way the team needs Obi Toppin back. But even more so because, again, you're just relying so much on Jalen and Julius to do all this offensive work. And you needed RJ in there. You know, whether you think he's the first, second, or third option is irrelevant. To me, you have three guys who are your primary initiators on offense, and he's one of them. So you lose one of those guys, it becomes tough sledding, because who's the third guy now? Is it Grimes? He's shown a little bit of blow-by ability and driving ability. Is it Quickly? His shot has come back. The floater's back. You know, he still seems to me a little hesitant on shooting a lot of threes lately. Which is, you know, much lower number than his first 2 years. You got to have RJ back, because this team, again, is only going to go as far as those three guys take them. And if you're missing the one of the three, I mean, you're already putting yourself at a massive disadvantage. But I don't even want to give any oxygen to this RJ off the bench, start Quickly nonsense, because the great thing about Emmanuel Quickly, Rafa, is that he is an incredibly versatile player. What I mean by that, he could be your backup point guard or your backup two. He could be a spot starter at your point or a spot starter at your two. He gives you rotational versatility that you might not have. You could play him 30 minutes one night or 18 minutes another night, depending on how everything's going. And he's a reliable player. That doesn't mean you have to force him into the starting lineup. Again, I think people are forgetting just how talented and good RJ actually is. And you know they're kind of taking it for granted now because you know you of course when you're in a winning streak like we are right now, four games in a row, you kind of say, oh well, we got to keep this going, you know what I mean? And like imagine if like you know Klay Thompson goes out, for example, with the Warriors and they rattle off five in a row. Like you think Warriors fans are gonna be like, I don't know, man, we need to have Klay coming in off the bench. Like, no, they're not saying that. It's not how it works. Like, we need to calm down.
These people need to. It's like the eighth game winning streak. How important was RJ and Julius Randle, but RJ as well, improving and taking a step in the right direction because they were playing a little bit sluggish? How good was them improving defensively, improving offensively? How great was it for the team? Like having, as you said, having three threats to score. Reliable threats to score is much, it's better than having just two, because it is what it is. Like we have three, a big. That's why we teams want the big three. We have the mid three apparently, but I
There it
mean,
is. I was waiting for the reference
there,
there.
no, it's like, but it's they're both the, sorry, the three of them are giving you a regular 20 to 25 points per game. One of them goes to 30 almost, and the others are around 25, 20. They have different periods. You see different periods of the game where the guy is taking over. It's Brunson in the first quarter, second for Julius Randle, third for RJ Barrett, and the fourth they mix it up a bit. It's like they tend to do this in the off and help. The defense doesn't know what to expect because oh, they're going through RJ. Oops, they're going to Brunson. Now they're going to
Right.
Randall. What are we doing here? That helps. So having and as much as I'm loving Quickly's minutes right now, if the idea is someone answered me this on Twitter, because I came all no bullshit, no bullshit. Every take about RJ Barrett not starting as an egg coming off the bench is trash. It's ludicrous. Just the minute you put RJ from the bench, you fuck up his trade value, fuck him over in New York, and you're shipping him out, and your his value is much, much lower than it would ever be. He would be traded like that if then the moment the Knicks put him on the bench for some idiotic reason. It's because RJ is not a star. RJ is an all NBA. RJ isn't doing this or that. Isn't he never made it all rookie? He never made it this or that. Yeah, and Quickly has for not a knock on Quickly, but is he? No. Oh, RJ's shooting his 3-point shooting this season sucks. Well, Quickly's not been great as well. He was under the point three. So yeah, great. So
Like
if
imagine if
RJ.
you had the Nuggets fan base, right? And let's say Jamal Murray goes out for a few games and Bones Highland comes in and starts lighting it up, right? Imagine the Nuggets fan base saying, "Oh man, we got bench Jamal Murray." Like, no, they're not saying that. That's not how it works. Okay, I don't understand why this fan base likes to get cliquey with certain players, you know, like, and then they'll get mad when the other player succeeds. Obi fans like that whenever Julius does well. You know, IQ fans get irritated when Grimes gets more minutes or whatever. You know, it's just like we should be focusing on team success here, right? And we're instead trying to push this agenda-driven thing where we want to be proven right that the guy we like is better than the other guy. And it's like the other day, the goal of this team is to win some games. And I'm sure if you asked IQ or you asked RJ, they're going to do whatever it takes to win. And I think IQ knows that this team is better with RJ in the starting lineup. But enough of that RJ
Of course
talk,
you
man.
do. I could do this all day.
I know. We had to put a stop in that, you know, in the interest of time. But with that, let's kind of shift over to the All-Star game, All-Star voting thing, which is kind of interesting to me. Well, the first batch of fan voting results came in. And interestingly, only one Nick made the cut in the front court, the back court of the 20 players in the leaderboard there. And that's Derrick Rose, who is currently out of the rotation. Ninth most votes as a guard in the Eastern Conference. And so there's two ways you could look at this. One, is fans are stupid and they'll vote for anybody. Two is Knicks fans don't give their players the adequate amount of support. Now, I have the list in front of me here. So looking in the East, I'm just going to rattle these names off. Your front court players. So your top four or five aren't really a surprise. Kevin Durant, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, who's probably a front runner for MVP right now. Jimmy Butler. Yeah. You have Pascal Siakam's having a real nice year. Kyle Kuzma of the Wizards. Paolo Banchero, rookie from the Magic, who's having a great year. Nick Claxton from the Nets, who's had a little bit of a renaissance, but not all-star level, in my opinion. And you had Jared Allen from the Cavaliers. Now, at the guards, you have Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden. Again, no surprise there. Jaylen Brown, no surprise. Trae Young, no surprise. DeMar DeRozan. Then you have LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Halliburton from Indiana, Derrick Rose from the Knicks, and Darius Garland from the Cavs. So missing from here is Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson, who, you know, a lot of people have been saying they're playing at an all-star level, right? So what is it to you? Do you think this is just whatever, it's fan voting, who cares? Or is there really an issue with Knicks fans showing support for their players?
I think it might be a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Like the fans have fun with this. They have fun with all-star voting. I always remember this a few years ago in the NHL. People voted. They all voted in an enforcer. Mm-hmm. The guy who's up there just to beat up other guys. They voted in him. Voted him in. And yeah, he was in. Well, people were like, what the hell is this? Okay, great. But I mean, the All-Star weekend is for the fans, right? Mm-hmm. I think we had this discussion before or whatever, group chat or whatever. The All-Star, NBA All-Star is for the fans. And if it's for the fans, okay, the fans should be able to see what they want to see. If they want to see Nick Claxton, they should see Nick Claxton. If they want to see Kevon Looney, they want to see Austin Reeves, well, they should. If they're voting, is well, give the people what they want. But I think it, when you tie this into contracts, if you're a player's contract, if you are an all-star, you will get the money. So it's a little...
A little fucked up. Okay. To be honest,
players voting and coaches voting, it's different. It makes it a twist here when you get more money for being an NBA All Star. Obviously, it's because you're a fan favorite and you get more shirts. But looking at this list, these votes, are you telling me that no fans of the New York Knicks are voting for even being on a top 10? Like Randall, RJ, I mean, 121,000 votes for Jared Allen. No, how many Knicks fans are there? Aren't we the best fans of the NBA? Are the NBA? Come on, like, vote.
Like, here's the funny thing, Rafa. Like, the Knicks have like over 5 million or so followers on Twitter. And you're telling me that small subset, 100,000 people or up to 200,000 of those people couldn't vote for their two best players? Like, when fans talk about this team being disrespected, our players being disrespected, I mean, this is our own doing in this particular case, you know? Absolutely. Like, again, you're seeing some numbers here over the last 16 games. It's not necessarily a small sample size from Julius, where he is tied for the most points in the league with Luka over the last 16 games. You're trying to tell me that doesn't warrant all-star consideration, you know? And that's what really grinds me about this stuff. It's, you have these two guys who are playing really well and contributing to winning. That's the important thing, right? They are now, what, four games, I believe, above 500 in the playoff position. And you're going to go ahead and give it to a role player in Nick Claxton over Julius Randle. You know, you're going to vote in a guy who's out of the rotation, Derrick Rose, instead of voting for Jalen Brunson. And that's, to me, the
almost voted in as an injured player, Derrick Rose. Wasn't he almost voted in last year as injured? I think
The
he
thing
was.
about Derek is that he's still incredibly popular, especially in Chicago. And, you know,
Yeah.
people around the NBA, he's just one of those guys that everybody likes. You know, it's he's, you know, every sport has a few of them, you know, where everybody's a fan of the guy just because of his personality, what he's gone through. And I get that with Derek, but like Knicks fans, we got to do better, man. We got to try and vote these guys in because, again, if you want your team to be taken seriously, the All-Star game is a great showcase. You get mad about fans defecting to the Nets? Well, when you're a young
Yeah,
fan,
there you
what's the
go.
thing you're watching? You're watching the All-Star game and you're watching All-Star weekend. So, you know, having a guy in the skills competition or the 3-point shootout or the dunk contest, like earlier today, I don't know if you saw this, Rafa, Ja Morant from the Grizzlies tweeted out
Yeah.
that Jericho Sims
Sims,
should be in
right?
the dunk contest. You understand what great exposure that is for the Knicks as a brand? You know, and we should
For
be pulling for
Sims.
this. And you
Yeah,
know me,
exactly.
Rafa. I hate the All-Star game. I hate the whole All-Star stuff. I hate it. And just as a basketball fan, it's not good basketball, right? But
No, it's not.
at the same time, from a brand exposure perspective, it's invaluable. Like, this is more valuable than winning some games in January, right? To be in terms of just branding for your team. And you should, these guys should want to see these guys. I don't care if you hate Julius Randle, you should want him to be on the All-Star team. Even if you want to trade him so bad, what else is going to bump up that trade value other than somebody being on an All-Star team? Like, oh man, All-Star's available, two-time All-Star now, why not, right? You know, and that's what kills me about this.
Now, I will do. How many times have you voted for the All-Star?
So I did it when they had the bonus entries. So I've done it three times. So a total of
Okay.
nine votes. Yeah.
Nine votes. Okay, I've done it three times, so three votes. So I could have done it way more. Yeah. So
Yeah, it's like,
there's
why
12
aren't
votes
we
here.
supporting these guys the same way Chicago fans are supporting DeMar DeRozan or Charlotte fans are supporting LaMelo
Yeah.
Ball? You know, I'm not saying you're going to overtake Jaylen Brown and James Harden and these guys and Donovan Mitchell, but you know, to not be able to crack over like 150,000 votes for Jalen Brunson to me is kind of criminal, considering how active of a community Knicks fans are on Twitter as well. Like, what are we doing here, right?
It doesn't take much, but it's like there are a lot of people who don't like RJ. There are a lot of people who don't like Randall, and maybe that ties it in. People don't vote for their players because they want to vote the, or they want to
You know what's
see
another
other
thing, I
stars.
think?
Maybe they're voting for Zach LaVine or some
You know what
shit
is
like
another
that.
thing I think, Rafa, is like Knicks fans pride themselves, and we pride ourselves on this, on being intelligent basketball people, right? Like we're the most intellectually advanced basketball fan base, right? Like we understand the
That's
game
not.
better because, you know, we're Knicks fans or whatever, right? That's just it's a self-proclaimed thing. I'm not saying it's accurate. And I think when they do that, they're like, well, I'm not going to just vote in Julius Randle when I can vote in Giannis and Embiid, you know, and whatever, whoever
See,
else.
maybe that's it. Maybe they want
I
to see
think
the
that could
basket
be
because we
it.
don't have stars. We need stars in this team. Oh, maybe that's
Yeah,
it.
it's dumb. Like, it's so dumb. And
You think
I
they're gonna
just.
make it? I think they're still gonna make it. Not by the votes of the fans. Maybe the coaches. Julius, one of them is going in.
I
I
think
said
if
it at the
Julius
beginning.
keeps
My
up
prediction.
on this path, man, he's gonna get voted in by a coach. That's probably the only path, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Tibbs will vote. I mean, Tibbs will shout them into voting.
It's like, listen, get my guy in. All
No, no
right,
problem there,
let's
man.
yeah, exactly. I'm happy with it either way. I mean, if it's just Brunson, cool. If it's Brunson and Randall, awesome. If it's just Randall, cool as well. You know, just want to, I'd like to see a representative. That would be nice. Especially again, where last year is different. We were struggling the whole year. Nobody was playing well. You get it. But this year,
Yeah,
you know, you get guys
they're
playing
playing
well.
good.
Your team's doing well. You know, it's they should have somebody in there. Let's
Glenn,
shift
by
to
the way,
our yeah.
we were talking about this. I voted four times. Fuck.
No, there you go. Boom.
There you
So
go.
let's shift to our final topic of the day. So Stephen Bondy from the Daily News, New York Daily News, had an interesting comment the other day on Ian Begley's Putback Show, where he said that when talking about Jalen Brunson, and Jalen Brunson is the best point guard that the Knicks have had since Mark Jackson. Now,
spicy.
I'm assuming he's talking about 90s Mark Jackson, not early 2000s Mark Jackson when he came back. So, first of all, do you buy this take?
Given our history of point guards, if he is not, he might be closing in, or he might be close just for this sample we've saw, because he's he's transformed our team, and that's what sticks to fans, that he really transformed our team, the way, our way of playing. So
it's the anti-Marbury argument there, right? In that way, because like Marbury balled out, but he didn't really win, you know, and Jalen's winning. So that's kind of the sticking point, right?
It's again, it's the perspective you what you see in it. Winning helps instead of playing well and losing. Like, oh, he's playing well. Yeah, but he's playing well in a losing team, so it doesn't count as much. You listen to this all the time. Mm-hmm. That's Marbury might have been the biggest star, but Brunson is helping more the team, and we've been craving for a point guard since Marbury almost.
Yeah.
And we kind of have him right now. It looks like we have him. He's playing well, really, really well. I love him. I'm glad we tampered. We should do it again. It's fun.
Let's do this again. Yeah, next weekend. No.
Yeah. Second round pick. Yeah, sure. Go for it. And I think it's a little early to say it like that. Maybe end of the season or next season, if he continues this level of play, maybe I can get him into the conversation. But looking at the list of point guards we have, some of them are really not good, but some of them, well, they play what they could with the Knicks. And don't want to disrespect them that immediately, right, like that. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. Do you think he's
like
the best point guard since Mark Jackson?
I would say he's probably the best since Derek Harper. I think Derek Harper gets a little bit of disrespect by this fan base. This is a guy who,
again,
if John Starks doesn't stink up the joint in the finals against the Rockets in Game 7, I think there's an argument for Derek Harper winning Finals MVP that series. And Derek Harper is a guy whose numbers retired in Dallas, who did really good things with the Knicks in the early 90s, and I think he gets overlooked a lot when people are thinking about that era, because Patrick was just Patrick, obviously, and you know his running mate was considered John Starks. And Derek Harper is not a really flashy, exciting player, but he's a consistent defender, good point guard. So I would say that. But when you look, like, in our prep for the show, I kind of put down a bunch of players. I mean, you know, you talk about the two runs of Derrick Rose, Jason Kidd as a fossil, you know, the ghost of Baron Davis, Chauncey Billups when he was here for a cup of coffee after the Melo trade, the Jamal Crawford era, which was fun, but ultimately not successful. Yeah. Steph Marbury, of course, Charlie Ward, who's a fun story because, you know, the whole football to basketball transition out of college is interesting, but he wasn't never an elite point guard. Same thing with Chris Childs. Marbury is the big one, obviously. But I would say what we have in Brunson right now is a legitimate modern point guard who could score 20 points on teams whenever he wants. The leadership qualities for him is what gets me, man, because he's had such a positive effect on so many of these players. Like, you watch IQ, Julius talk post-game, and they're talking different than they did a couple years ago. And I think that's Brunson's effect. He's a natural born leader, came in here and ingratiated himself to everybody. Like, RJ's always been good in the podium, so that there's no difference there. But I really do think that it's when you're starved for so long, like we have been, like we haven't had good point guard play, like you mentioned, you know, in such a long time. Like, even if you compare it to like a franchise like the Wizards, for example, you know, like they had Gilbert Arenas for a while and then transitioned right into John Wall, you know, and And then that's the crazy thing. We don't have that situation. Like, oh yeah, we got Steph Marbury, and then we transitioned into Nate Robinson. Like, you know, no disrespect to Nate, but he's not that level. You know what I mean? Arenas and Wall are both all-stars, right? So it's something that we've been without for so long that we now appreciate it so much more that we have it. You know, 2 years with Elfrid Payton, for example, you know, who is, I believe, not even in the league anymore, you know, and that just goes to show you the type of players. Like, we had Brandon Jennings and like Raymond Felton for a minute. I love Raymond Felton, but he was never going to be an elite point guard in this league. And this guy, you can make the argument, he is. Right.
We had Mike Bibby, right?
The ghost Bibby of Mike Bibby as well. Bibby as well. We had a lot of old, aging point guards, like guys whose names you see, like, oh man, I remember Jose Calderon on the Mavs and the Raptors. And like, oh yeah, he was Prigioni. Jason Kidd, you know, Prigioni.
Yeah, man. Yeah, don't disrespect that guy. But
I liked him. I liked him.
He was serviceable. It's what we you asked of him, basically. And the thing is with Brunson is when you look at him, oh, he's having a terrible shooting night. He's playing terrible. It's the third quarter and he has 8 points. Mm-hmm. He's got 14 assists or 13 assists. Like, so he's being out there active on offense. The shot isn't falling. He's passing the ball well, finding the open guy, and well, having the other two guys that we mentioned before scoring. So he doesn't need to. He's passing, they're scoring. So,
yeah, his effect on these other guys is all you need. You know what? Something I noticed the other night, I tweeted this out from my personal account, and I actually meant to bring it up to you, but I never did. He's really looking to get Mitch more incorporated in this offense now, which is something I really like to see. And that, yet again, just showcases the leadership and the willingness to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page. Because I heard a quote, I was listening to a podcast, I think it was the Ryan Russillo podcast. He was interviewing Jeff Van Gundy. And he said something interesting, which was, you know, I asked Larry Brown, why does he give like 4 to 5 post touches to Ben Wallace you know, when he was in his prime in Detroit? You know, Ben Wallace isn't doing anything with the ball. He's like, look, because it's so hard to rebound and defend on the block and all this. You got to, you know, people like shooting is fun. Everybody wants to shoot the ball. So I give him the ball in the middle there. He's happier. He's more energetic at rebounding the ball and on defense, which is, you know, a genius coaching line from Larry Brown.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's what I think Jalen's doing. He's incorporating Mitch into the offense. You know, so it's not like, oh, you're only going to do putback dunks or you're only going to get offensive rebounds, so on and so forth.
I don't think it's, you mentioned that. I don't think it's only a Brunson thing. I think it's a team thing. They're doing it. Mm-hmm. You've seen a lot of RJ and Mitch pick and roll things and then lobs and everything. They've been looking more for him. And if you look at it, you haven't seen him complain about doing cardio in the games for a long time. He tweeted it a lot on Instagram, saying, oh, dude, I just went and do some cardio. Ha ha ha. I mean, that's something you might.
That's him maturing in one aspect too.
Yeah.
It is, but it is getting his touches. He got a post move. I don't think he, or two post moves in the game. I don't think he made any of those, but he had them. It was there. They were there. Instead of just.
He's had some flashes of kind of up and under type situations. And it's encouraging to see because, you know, our whole thing is like, oh, this guy's only going to rim run and, you know, alley oop and, you know, dunks only. Getting the confidence because here's this point guard who just got paid a bunch of money to come here, who's giving me the ball. Here's Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, guys who just got paid, giving me the ball. Okay, like, let me refine my stuff and, you know, let me be
he
more
got
excited
paid
to
as
do
well.
This.
So
he got paid. That's fair, so but I mean, he didn't get paid like that.
Refine it
you know?
As well. Yeah.
But, he's, sure.
but it's, I think it's the a part, and you said how it's fun shooting the ball and everything, especially you have a young team. So if you're a young team, it's natural that you tend to make them fun as well out there. Hmm. Even if everybody gets into the NBA because they're scoring points.
Right.
It's not obviously you're going to look at your stats and it's like, oh, this guy was incredible. But in 20 years, if someone was looking at your stats, oh, look at this guy, 6 points, It's only 6 points per game. What he was doing out there? Yeah, but he had 15 offensive rebounds that game. Nobody one cares. You look at the points, and so I get that part. And I mean, Mitch has not been fumbling the ball as much, which is nice. I remember that duo with Noel that both of them couldn't catch a ball.
Hands of stone,
Just
man. Hands of
disaster,
stone.
dude. My God, that was so painful. But yeah, I think everybody is getting their touches this season. Everybody's getting their moments, getting their flashes of on offense, even with the biggest load being by RJ, Randall, and Brunson, which is I'd like to see. And it's we're 4 games above 500, undefeated in 2023. So it's awesome.
So far, so good. So far, so good.
Love it, man.
All right, let's shift
Shut
over
it down.
to shut it down.
Shut it down.
Stop
Stop the count.
the count. No. So let's get into some game picks though. 4 games on the slate this week. So we are home for Milwaukee and Indiana, and on the road for Washington and Detroit. So, Rafa, what do you think?
I would like to say we are going 3-1.
Where's
We're going three
the
and one.
loss?
Think
Assuming Milwaukee.
it's no, I was thinking Indiana. Like the
Oh.
revenge game against the Bucks, but then the reverse revenge game against the Pacers, because we beat them. They were playing great. We were playing good as well. So it's a coin toss. I think it's a bit of a flip between the Bucks and in Indiana. I think there might be very close games, and we can easily lose one of those, especially if RJ is still not good to go. I don't think he will be. But if we get Obi back, I think we have a better chance of doing that, of winning these games. Yeah, the two, man, Washington and Detroit. We have to beat Detroit, even if it's in Detroit. You have to be, even for you
Detroit
to
has
be able
fully embraced
to
the
watch a
tank
win.
now. I mean, they're all in on the tank now.
Yeah, man, I remember some season predictions at the beginning of the season that said that Detroit would be in the
Okay.
playoffs. I was
Their
like, come
best
on.
player went out for the year. Okay.
Doc, would that even matter? Would they make the playoffs if Cunningham was
Cunningham, I
playing?
mean, I don't think they would be full on tanking like they are now if they had Cade healthy. And that matters.
But would they be in the playoffs? Playoffs, not play-ins, playoffs.
Not on the playoffs, no. I said they might be a play-in team.
No, it was, I was saying, somebody said that they would be the sixth seed with Cade and Ivy. Like, hold on, dude. Hold on. So that's what I was saying. But you have to beat Detroit. And, well, Washington, Kristaps, destroy them. I don't want to trade for him either.
I need a Julius 40 piece in that game. That's what I need. I just need him to go ballistic and just like shit on
Yeah.
Kristaps. I need Sims to dunk on Kristaps. I need all that. You know, I just need all that. I
I
don't really
need
hate Kristaps
Mitch
anymore,
post
but
up
just like,
moves.
yeah. Oh
Yeah,
yeah, post him
he's
up.
done. Poor guy. I love to see that Knicks fans. I laugh at some Knicks fans on Twitter saying that we should trade for Kristaps.
I've heard
Hey,
that too,
trade
yeah.
Randall and for. I'm like,
What are we
why
doing
do you
here, guys?
want him back? What, can you please stop?
No,
No,
they cannot stop.
we should. Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. We should trade Randall and RJ for Kuzma and Porzingis. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
So we want to be the Wizards without Beal. Cool, awesome.
What is this? What is this? And RJ, because he's gone for Kuzma. What are we doing? What is this? Please. Kuzma, I mean, oh my God. I digress. Sorry, I digress.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you and say 3-1. I think the loss comes to Milwaukee. Giannis terrifies me. I'm sorry. It's just like, how do you guard him? It's like when you play Luka, how do you guard him? You just can't. You know, it's yeah.
You can't, yeah,
So
you just
I know
try
they're
to
still
contain
missing
him.
Middleton, but you know, it's I know Holiday's been in and out of the
Giannis.
lineup, but yeah, Giannis is Giannis. You know, it's. So, and I don't know, I think we could beat Indiana. It's tough. I mean, Halliburton's
Yeah,
been
I think
playing
so.
really
Yeah.
well. You know, they're a pretty fun league pass watch, actually. Like, so right now, like, I'm getting like super into my League Pass season now, as like the football playoffs are starting now, and I'm kind of like diving back in. So I have three League Pass teams I love watching: Pacers, Kings, and I really like watching Rockets games because it's fucking chaotic. Like, it's a bunch
Yeah,
of
man.
like ball hog ISO guys, and it's just like a beautiful disaster.
Nice.
And but like when they're on, like when Porter and Smith and all these guys are hitting threes, like you can't
Yeah.
stop them. But it's just like, but they're so like, they have like, it's just disgusting basketball. And I just like, it's how I humble myself as a Knicks fan. It's like, it could be this,
Could be the I have there's a Portuguese guy who's very into the Rockets and everything from Houston, the Astros and everything. And he I follow him on Twitter, and every time the Rockets play, man, he just goes on meltdowns, like, why are we doing this? We were so good. How did this happen?
You know what's frustrating
Fire
about
the
the
coach.
Rockets?
Fire the
You know
coach.
what's frustrating about the Rockets is they have such an interesting big man in Şengün, and they really
So
don't use
weird.
him right. He's
It's so
really
weird.
good. Yeah, like he's an excellent passer, got a little bit of range, decent defender, and they really don't utilize him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get shipped to somewhere else. I really
I
like
don't
his
know if
game.
you should pay attention to if you follow the League Pass team. Twitter is a fun for other teams. Twitter's is all also fun. So the Rockets have it all figured out. They will lose the season, obviously. They will get Wembanyama and sign Harden in free agency, and they're
I
set.
saw that. I saw that rumor.
They're
And
set. They are
why would
set.
Harden do that?
This, I don't know, because yes, because man,
Because he
this
likes the strip
plan
clubs in Houston
reeks.
that much? I mean.
My God, this plan reeks of Knicks.
Like old
We're
Knicks?
gonna draft Zion. We're gonna get Kyrie and Durant. We're gonna storm the league. Nope, nothing happens like that. Nothing happens.
You will get R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle, and you will like it. Yeah,
And down the line,
it's funny.
you will get Jalen Brunson, because Elfrid Payton was not it.
Understatement of the year, right there, Rafa. Jeez. All right,
There you
let's wrap this one up. Of course, you could follow. We're talking about Twitter just now. You can follow the pod on Twitter at WW Knicks Podcast, where Rafa does a lot of live game tweeting and interactions, with other fan bases. You could also catch the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. But that is another episode of Worldwide Knicks, and we will catch you guys next week.